can just still feel His glory just getting downloaded on us. Yeah, did you feel that when we were worshiping? I just felt like it was a download again. His glory just coming down and coming down and coming down over us, raining down over us. And I just feel it's, whoa, still coming down. You see, we get transformed in His glory, don't we? Changed by His glory. As we spend time soaking in His glory, it's going to change us. Wow. Whoa. You know, in 1 Samuel 10, verse 9, Saul was walking down the hill. He went to go look for his father's donkeys. And he was coming down the hill, and Samuel had met him just before then, the prophet. And he said to him, he told him, well, when you go down this hill, this is going to happen, and you're going to meet this group of prophets coming down the hill. And sure enough, as he came down this hill, this whole group of prophets, they were in a prophetic school. How cool is that, right? School of the prophets. They were coming down this hill, prophesying with their instruments. Whoa, prophesying with those instruments. You prophesy when you play those things. The heartbeat of God comes forth in those drums, and as they play their instruments, like with David when he played his instruments, you know how the evil spirits left? They did, yeah. It happens with the playing of instruments. And I just, as these prophets were prophesying with their instruments, the Holy Spirit fell on him. And there in that verse it says he was changed into a different person. He uses those words. He's changed into a different person. See, when the Spirit of God falls upon us, we're changed into His likeness. Into His likeness. Saul could never have been king of Israel before that happened. You know, I couldn't have stood up here before he came and landed on me. Right? And with you too, Trish, right? He landed on you. That's what made you so messed up, right? That's why we love her so much. Well, he messes us up in terms of who we think we are, right? Yeah. He just wants to get rid of all our pride and gets rid of all that stuff. Yeah. Whoa. He changes us into different people, into His person, into becoming more and more like Jesus all the time as we spend time in His glory and His presence. I think that's what it's all about, is spending time with Him like that. Wow. So just saying to the Lord just before coming, I was saying, I don't even want to talk. Lord, just come and show us more of Your glory instead. Wow. Wow. You know, He's coming and He's showing Himself and showing His glory to us in many ways. I mean, I don't even understand all that He's trying to do. Like, He's showing up in different things, like, you know, gold dust falling, you know. We've seen gold dust all over us. You know, we've had gold dust coming, like snowdrifts. You wouldn't really know what a snowdrift was. We know what a snowdrift, real snowdrift is. But it was falling from the ceiling, and like a whole group of people, 20, 30 people all together, were standing there, whoa, you know, as they saw it just drifting across the lights, you know. And you know, every once in a while, you'd hear that again. We had this one meeting, and it was just after our 10th anniversary, actually, of when God poured out on us on January 20th. In 1994 it happened, so this would be 2004, that is our 10th year anniversary. And I know, we came thinking we're just going to party tonight and have a big celebration. And instead, the glory of God fell on us. The glory of God fell in one of the most incredible ways I've ever seen. And it was like this holy hush. You know how that was coming? We're getting into that place of just, it's like you just feel like falling on your face before Him. You know, that holy hush that comes as His presence, His glory gets poured out. And then you know what happened? John Arnott, our senior pastor, the first and only time I've ever, ever heard him do this, sang prophetically. Whoa! And whatever he sang, it was just something about God's glory going out over us. And Lindley, who was on our pastoral team, you get her back in Auckland. That's not fair. We want to keep her. We can't. She's come back to live in Auckland. Anyway, Lindley, who was on her face on the floor during this time when God came, she got up and she responded to John again, just a simple little line, prophetic line. And the presence of God was so thick, so heavy in the room. And there'd just be the silence again for a while. And then after a bit, John again would sing out another line. You know, something about God's glory as he was just pouring it out. And again, after a bit, Lindley would respond again. But during this time, as his presence just got poured out, it said it got heavier and heavier and heavier. And things started happening all over the room. But it was still quiet, this holy hush. And that's when, said, first of all, April Stevenson, the head of our intercessory team, she had gone out to the back for something and was coming back up. And all of a sudden, she felt rain on her hand. And she looked up and she thought, oh, the roof is leaking. And she looked and she couldn't find a leak. We have had leaks in the past, so that's why she's suspecting that. But there is no leak. And she asked one of the other intercessors, do you see a leak up there? Because I'm feeling rain. And she put her hands up. Yeah, I feel it too. It's coming down in their hands. And there's no leak in the ceiling. And pretty soon you had this group of 20 or 30 people all reaching up and all feeling it. All, it's like mist or rain coming down on their hands. They're getting all wet with it. And that's when they were all looking and then this, seeing all this gold dust. And it's, wow. Well, this is happening. Back over here in the other corner of the room, you hear a big commotion, kerfuffle over there. God was just spontaneously healing. Healing, healing, healing. And while that was happening, Carol Arnott was sitting in the front. She felt this weight of glory on her hands. It was getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Whoa. 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 Threw me off balance. Anyway, this weight of glory was getting so heavy. She felt like it was like a ball of, you know, like holding on a big bowling ball or something, this weight of glory. And she said, God, what am I supposed to do with that? And he said, go and start pouring it out on people. And so she'd be walking along, you know, finding a victim here and there. This, I said, all these other things going on at the same time. Whoa. And she'd just take this ball of glory and she'd start pouring it out on people. Just open your hands. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then she'd go to the next person and she'd just start pouring it out all over them. Whoa, this weight of glory would just come, whoa, and weigh them down. Whoa, whoa. And as she was doing this, just glory was just pouring out everywhere she went and there were people just melting all over the floor, you know. Whoa, and again, April Stevenson said she felt like the weight felt like bricks that were building up on her as she's sitting there, just getting heavier and heavier and heavier, just the weight of his presence. We have seen so many things of his glory and his presence. You know, gold teeth. Why would God give people gold teeth? I don't know. You know, if people are trying to come up with explanations, you know, that all the gold had been stolen from the children of Israel, now God's returning gold back to, you know, I don't know. You know. All I know is it's, those are signs of his glory. Signs of his glory being poured out on us. He's just giving out gifts to his children. We've had feathers falling. I've got one in my Bible. If anybody wants to see it later, it's in Daniel 6. I found that out last weekend when I kept trying to look for it. But in California, one place in Fremont, California, as I'm speaking, these feathers are falling onto the platform. I don't know. Again, they're verses. He said he'd cover us with his feathers. You know, they're signs. They're signs, again, of his presence. You know, there's gold, I say gold dust and things. One time I was speaking, and I was speaking on his glory, and I've got right in here the top verse, John 11:40. Says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. How many of you believe you're going to see more of the glory of God? Well, as I was speaking about this, it was over a year ago, a year and a half or so ago, as I was speaking and I'm reading it out, if you believe, you'll see the glory. Whoa, there's this speck of glory. Can you see it back there? It's big enough, like it's a diamond shape. Yeah, see it right? Right over the word glory. And it's been stuck there all this time. This has been in my Bible, shuffled around in my notes and everything, and it still stays there right above this word glory. And it's like, to me, it was like, whoa, again, it's a sign. A sign and a wonder. You know, why is he doing this? I don't know. In Australia, was that a year, almost 2 years ago when we were there, and we did this conference one night when God was on the kids. There were a number of kids that came to the conference. And God was just doing stuff with the kids. And so we called them up and had them pray for one of the pastors, and he's getting hit and seeing visions, and they're getting blasted by the Holy Spirit. And so we had a fire tunnel, and we had the kids do the tunnel. So the adults are going through, and the kids are standing there either weeping or falling on the floor and having incredible visions, whatever, but just God was just all over the kids. So, of course, everybody getting hit by the Holy Spirit as they're going through, because they're so plastered with the Holy Spirit that everybody's getting it. And at the end, these little girls, they had these long skirts on. They were coming, and, you know, with their skirts like this, showing me there's all kinds of little sparkly things on their dresses. You know, little curly, different colored things and everything. Just gorgeous little translucent kind of colors and these sparkly things all over the dress. Nobody else got them, just all the kids. I was like, God was on the kids that night. Wow. Said all kinds of, I could tell you story after story of these kinds of things that we've seen. And it's like, I don't understand why. All I know is they're signs. They're signs of His glory. You know, when we were praying for New Zealand, and Jeremy was leading us in that prayer for New Zealand, you know, for His glory just to cover this earth and for the, you know, this whole land and the, for the King of Glory to come and occupy here. And I thought, you know, that used to be in our wildest dreams. It's not in our wildest dreams anymore. Because God says that His glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we're starting to see it. It's already started. It's already started. So this land hasn't got a hope. It's getting more of God's glory on it. Yes, Lord. Wow. Said it's already started. You see, we're living in those last days, aren't we? I love the scriptures that talk about the last days because I know they were written for us, for you and me. The people who wrote them back then, the prophetic people, they didn't even have a clue what it was going to look like. They just wrote what the Holy Spirit told them to write. And we're starting to see it today because He's pouring out His Spirit now in these days, in the last days. So I pay attention to verses that say, in the last days, I say, what does it say? Because that's for me. I want to take it. So Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, these are some last day verses. And it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And the glory of the Lord, it said, rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Well, we are in that dawning stage right now, aren't we? When His glory has been increasing and rising over us. And I can see it over you. Even this last 2 days, His glory has been increasing over you. Isn't that why we're here? To get more filled with Him and more filled with His glory? We're going to radiate more and more with His glory all the time. Wow. Yes, we are. Yes. Said Mary Audrey, a pastor at home, Mary Audrey and I, we have decided we are getting younger looking all the time under the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are. You'll take that one, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because we're going to be this beautiful, glorious bride. And you see, we're starting to radiate more with His glory all the time. I'll tell you, when you smile, when you're full of His presence, I'll tell you, you look gorgeous. Even you guys, you look gorgeous. Well, but His glory is just increasing and increasing. And if we're just in the dawning stages, can you imagine what it's going to be like when it gets to the heat of the noonday sun? Whoa. Whoa. You know what, though? It says in where is it here? I got a verse here somewhere. I'm not finding it. No. So 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 10 says, yet He's coming first to be glorified in His saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed. See, He's coming to be glorified in this earth for His glory to cover the whole earth, but He's coming first to be glorified in the church. That's in you and me. Amen is right. You sound like you're from North Carolina when you say that, Trish. Amen. Wow. But But he's chosen to reveal his glory in and through you and me. He's coming to fill us, and then we're going to take it out over the whole earth. Everywhere we go, his glory will be taken out over the whole earth. Whoa. See, Jesus in John chapter 17, verse 22, you know, when he prayed before he died, he said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I give to them. Wow. The same glory that God gave to Jesus, he now has given to us. He's filling us with his glory. That's why it's Christ in you, that hope of glory. Glory, he's filling us. We get to be glory vessels. Wow, we get to be carriers of his presence in these jars of clay. We get to be that carrier of his presence. Carol Arnott likes to talk, some of you probably heard her donkey story, but just, you know, about the little donkey that was going into Jerusalem, you know, and he got all puffed up and proud, you know, everybody's bowing before me, putting palm branches on, you know, waving palm branches and putting their lovely fur coats down, and he's all so proud. And then his mom said, I'm sorry, dear, it wasn't you. It's the person you are carrying. Wow. And that's what happens. We get to carry the king. Whoa, we get to be carriers of his presence wherever we go. And then she says, and any old donkey will do. You and me, we get to do that. Whoa, here it is. Romans 2, 9 and 10 says that when his glory comes, you know what's going to happen in those last days? Because we know we're in the last days. See, we don't know when the very last day is going to be, do we? But we know it's like it's talking about the fulfillment of time, the consummation of the age, the wrapping up of all things. We're in the wrapping up stages, aren't we? And we don't know how long that's going to be. We just know that we're closer to that now than we were yesterday. Right? It's coming. We don't know how soon. But we know that it's coming. And in that time, it says in Romans 2, 9 and 10, that his glory when it comes is going to cause tribulation and distress to the unrepentant world, but will bring glory and honor and peace to the righteous. You see, when the intensity of his glory comes, people that live in darkness aren't going to like that kind of shining light, are they? They like to hide in the darkness. And with the radiance of his beauty and the radiance of his glory, they're not going to like it. See, people aren't always going to like it when they see the glory of God shining on you. Like that lady I talked about that was the floppy old glove, you know, was laying hands on people when I talked about it this morning, and just that the staff didn't like it. They didn't understand it. They were just afraid of losing their jobs because all these people kept getting healed. Whoa, they're not always going to understand or like it. And in fact, it's going to cause tribulation and distress for many. You see, even right now on the earth, there are signs that he's coming soon, aren't there? The whole earth is groaning with signs that he's coming. Earthquakes. I heard there were 3 earthquakes in Auckland just before we came. Whoa, signs of the times. And then when we came out of the airport, we couldn't get our luggage, we couldn't get our Jeremy's guitar. Everything else came out except Jeremy's guitar because there's fire in the airport. And then last night, I don't know how many of you realize why we were so late in getting started last night, but it's like our whole sound system got fried. There was a meltdown, so we had to go and use the sound system of the church and stop using all our own stuff that we brought with us. You know, it's like there's signs here, something's going on. There are signs of the times. We're told to watch for the signs of the times, aren't we? It said earthquakes, tsunamis. You know, all kinds of things that are going on in the earth that are increasing and increasing. All of these are signs of the end of the age. And we know when we read the end of this book that the times at the end aren't going to be fun, are they? Have you read it lately? You know, there's stuff in there I don't like. You know, again, one of those scriptures I don't like to read. You know, just rather gloss those ones over. Let's read about joy and happiness and, you know, no. There's tribulation. There's horrible things coming. Persecution, things that are coming. And we don't like to think of that because we get afraid when we do. But you know, we're not supposed to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid because of the promises that are given to us in the Word. I'm going to read Malachi 4, 1 to 3. Again, a last day verse saying, the day is coming, burning like a furnace. And all the arrogant and every evildoer will be like chaff. It will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, that's us, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall. Whoa. Well, I saw some of you last night when you were doing Dancing with the Father, and there are a few people kicking up their heels. Yeah. And healing is rising. Healing is increasing. That's part of the signs of the times, isn't it? Jesus said, watch for the signs. The signs of the times. And we know, we can see that things are happening all over the earth. God is pouring out his spirit like never before. Just like the things Jeremy read on Friday night. People being raised from the dead. What did he say? How many did you say in New Zealand? 105. And you're probably not even documented yet, right, Mike? There's another one. 106. That's not including all the ones that aren't documented. But we know that God is on the doing things, that his glory is increasing over us right now. Whoa. Habakkuk 3:3-4 said, talks about Jesus. It's Old Testament, though, so they don't use his name. You know, they call him the Holy One. It says, when the Holy One is revealed in the heavens, his splendor will flood the skies like the sunlight. His radiance is like the sunlight. He has rays flashing from his hand, and therein is the hiding of his power. Whoa. How many of you have Jesus living in you? Whoa, that means when you stretch out your hands, I better watch it. Because, whoa, power is shooting out from your hands, because that's what shoots out from the hands of Jesus. His rays flashing from his hand, and therein is the hiding of his power. No wonder there's healing that flows. Often his glory is compared to sunlight, rays of sunlight. See, I'm sure that's why I like to soak on the beach, right? I can soak better on the beach than anywhere else when his rays of sunshine are shining down on me. Whoa, because it's so much like when I'm soaking in his presence and I just feel beams of his presence, his glory just shining down on me. When we were in worship there today, I felt like this shaft of glory was just coming right down on me, and I always felt like I was getting a download. So it says rays or beams coming down on you. That's, again, you know, God tries to explain things in the best way we know how to understand with earthly things like that. Because we don't have a clue what heaven's really going to be like, do we? I mean, we haven't got a paradigm for all of the things we're going to see up there. I'm sure we're going to see way more colors than we're seeing now. I think it's just going to be expanding. All these things that we're going to see, it's just going to stretch our minds. But he talks to us in terms that we can try to understand. It's saying it's something like this. Like Jesus said in the parables, you know, the kingdom of God is something like this or something like that. Trying to explain different facets of it so we could grasp it. Saying it in terms we would understand. And here he's talking about glory being like that. Rays. It's like there's an energy, there's a life force that comes into us that's his glory that's shining into our lives. Whoa. And I believe that that's one thing when we lay hands on people. You know, it's again power shooting out from our hands because we've got Jesus in us, right? And, you know, you see us waving it, whatever, you know, waving it. So I think there's glory beams. Glory, see, she's getting it over there. As we do that, just his waves of his presence are hitting us. Whoa. So you feel like a wave hitting you, doesn't it? Sometimes that energy just hitting you. Whoa. I'm going to read one more, and that's in Isaiah 4:5-6. Another last day verse. And I did already allude to that, I think, this afternoon. But it starts in verse 2 that tells me that it's the last day verse. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. See, that's where we get that thing, that we're just getting more beautiful all the time under the presence of God. But down to verse 5, then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day, a glow of flaming fire by night. Now, he's using Old Testament language. But we know that he's talking about a sign, a visible sign of his presence that would come and rest over the most holy place, right? This cloud of fire by night, the cloud of smoke by day, they would get up and move to show they were supposed to follow his presence again, showing he was resident there. So it's that kind of language, but it's talking about us, right? End time days. So what is he talking about? He's talking about his presence. And then says, over all the glory will be a canopy, and it will be a shelter and a shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and a hiding place from the storm and the rain. See, again, we don't need to fear all the things that are coming, any disasters that are coming, any of those things, because we're going to find our hiding place in Him. His glory, His presence. See, He's pouring out His presence on us right now, teaching us how to soak in His presence and get filled with His glory. Have you noticed that that takes away fear? It takes away condemnation. It just washes us of so much stuff when we're in His presence. And when we're in that place, it's like we learn how to tuck away in a safe place. He is our safe place. He is our hiding place from the storm and the rain. See, when there's trouble and turmoil going on all around you, find Him as your hiding place from that storm and the rain, will you? You know, there was one time an artist was told to paint a picture of peace. And people were thinking, oh, maybe it'll be a beautiful New Zealand mountain scene, you know, with streams flowing and you know, just a real peaceful scene like that. Well, the day came for the unveiling of this picture. And, you know, they just took the curtain off of that picture, and people stood there stunned because the picture they saw was this picture of a huge rocky cliff, real craggy cliff. And it was at the ocean, and the waves are just smashing up against it, and there was a storm raging all around. And they said, how can that be a picture of peace? And the artist said, well, you're not looking close enough then. Look way up near the top. And near the top, tucked away in a little cleft of the rock, was this little nest with a mother eagle and her little eaglets, all safe and secure, tucked away in the cleft of the rock. And he said, now that's true peace. Because you see, it doesn't mean situation around you is going to be peaceful. Jesus said the peace that he left with us wasn't as the world thinks of peace. But his peace is an internal peace that you have in the midst of storm and disaster all around you. It's the place of his presence. He wants us to learn to find the place of his presence. When things are going on all around you, when you're under stress at work, when things are happening in your family, tuck into the place of his presence. Find that place. All you have to do is step in under the canopy of his presence. Whoa. Say, here I am, Lord. Tuck me away in you. Hide me in you. His presence is your safe place from the hiding, from the storm and the rain and the heat of the day. Wow. Isn't that awesome that he teaches us to learn to find his presence, to soak in his presence. He wants us to get filled with his presence, with more of him in us all the time. You know, we talk about things like drinking of his presence, and I know some people struggle with that. I don't know, maybe you do. And they think, what do you mean by drinking his presence? Like, I mean, someone like Trish can receive God's presence so easy. You know, his presence shows up, she can't stand up anymore, you know? But other people feel nothing. I know for Jeremy and I, we were right there from the beginning, January 20th, 94, when God landed in power on our place. And the very first day, my mouth got totally frozen. It felt like dental freezing for about 4 hours. It felt ridiculous. And I thought, God, I want something in here. I don't want something external. I didn't want to fall down. I didn't want to do any of those things. I just wanted something that was going to change me on the inside. But then he said that he wanted to have his way, and that if it meant in order to get it in there, he had to do something to me. Well, I had to say, okay. So anyway, but for the longest time, you know, nothing was happening after that. Nothing was happening for Jeremy. You know, a lot of people, they're powerfully getting touched and all kinds of things happening. And we were nothing. And we were on the stage doing worship most of the nights. And that was a hot spot. I mean, some people couldn't even stand up there. This one poor fireman tried to give his testimony every night for about 2 weeks. But every single time he got up there to give his testimony, he just stood there and he couldn't talk. And he couldn't talk. And he got so frustrated, he'd cry sometimes because he wanted to tell his story of what God was doing. And it took 2 weeks before he could finally get it out because the presence of God was so strong on him when he got up there. There was such an anointing, and God's presence and glory was coming down on that stage. And yet, Jeremy and I didn't feel anything for the longest time. And we thought maybe there was something wrong with us. You know, that we weren't receiving anything. And I remember Jeremy going to talk to John Arnold about it and saying, John, I don't, I, nothing happens to me. And John said, yeah, I noticed. And you know, but then John said, it's okay, listen, just read the second chapter of Acts. And Jeremy said, I have, that's the problem. They're walking around like drunk people. Nothing happens to me. He said, no, no, read down further. Where Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, stood up and preached the gospel so clearly. And how many came to the Lord that day? 3,000 or something? And it wasn't the ramblings of a drunk person. But it was under the power and anointing of God. And he realized you can be naturally supernatural. You can flow under the power, great power and anointing of the Lord, and still stand up. I found that different people are different in the way that receive. You know what? You're different than I am. As a person, you're different than I am. God knows our personalities. It also sometimes has to do with the gifting that we have. Some people just, you know, end up having more of those manifestations of God's presence on them than other people. I mean, think about it, though. Isn't it even a miracle that any of us survives at all when God touches us? You know? It shouldn't surprise us that some people shake or fall or whatever under the power and anointing of God. But I say, God knows us all individually, and he knows what you need, and he knows what I need better than anybody else. Remember I said earlier today, if you ask for ask for more of the Holy Spirit, what do you get? More of the Holy Spirit. Even if you don't feel anything, you don't hear anything, see anything, you've received more because you've asked your Father for bread, like Luke 11:13 says. If you've asked him for bread, he's going to give you bread. And it says out of the Holy Spirit. You're going to fill you with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to be receiving if you ask him for that. You're going to be receiving anyway. And sometimes you're going to just find that you start to feel his presence. I'm amazed that we get to feel his presence. It's incredible that we get to feel it. But that's not the important issue. He's the issue. Intimacy with him is the issue. Knowing him more intimately, being filled with him, being filled with his power and his anointing is far better than anything else, any of the packaging it comes in, isn't it? And he wants to fill us with his glory, fill us with his presence. He wants you to spend time soaking in his presence. Soak it in. I found that even sometimes we learn how to sense God's presence the same way we learn to hear God's voice. It comes with time. It comes with practice. But we get more tuned into him and more tuned into the spiritual realm all the time. But it doesn't make anybody more spiritual than the other. You know, I remember with John and Carol, that Carol is like Trish. You know, she feels the presence of God. If the presence of God shows up, she was feeling it. She couldn't stand up to minister for the longest time until Mark DuPont, one of our other pastors, took her by the hand and prayed for her to stand in the anointing. And now she can. She can stand under great anointing sometimes that comes upon her. But, you know, John, he wasn't feeling anything. He wasn't going down. And I remember one time, because it was in our living room in a small group we were having, that John said to Carol, "Carol, teach me how to feel the presence of God." This is really cute. And so he said, "Pray for me, Carol, and you tell me when the Holy Spirit comes on me." And so he stood there, you know. And Carol would pray for him, and after a bit she said, "Oh, there you are, Holy Spirit." And he said, "Oh, yeah, I feel, it's almost like a little bit of peace or something, just felt kind of settled on me." She said, that's it, that's the Holy Spirit. He said, "Oh, okay, pray for me again. And tell me when the Holy Spirit comes." And he stood there and waited, and again she'd pray, and, "Wow, there you are, Holy Spirit." He said, "Oh, yeah, okay, I felt that now. Yeah, I understand that." And he started to learn how to recognize that presence of God when it was on him. And I'll tell you, he receives God's presence so much easier now. So much easier. But, you know, as I said, it doesn't make one person, doesn't mean that Carol is more spiritual than John is. You know? Again, they're different people, different personalities. They receive in different ways. And that's all right. Whatever way you receive, it doesn't matter if it's different than anyone else. I remember one time I was thinking, but it seemed like when people are laughing, I felt like crying. You know? And when I felt all joyful, you know, they're crying. I thought, what's the matter with me? And one time when that happened, I felt like the Lord just, I saw a picture of him just kind of pushing the other people aside and grabbing my hand and just drawing me close to himself and said, don't worry about everybody else. Just you and me. I know what you need anyway. Oh, okay. And it set me free to just be me and receive the way I receive and let him touch me whatever way he wants to touch me. And it will be different for each one of you, but the important thing is to open up your heart and be as open and vulnerable as you can in his presence to receive. Choose to receive from him. Choose to let it go in. That's all you have to do. And he will come. And if there's anything blocking the way to your receiving, because sometimes there is, then just say, Lord, show me. He's good at showing you that. And he'll help you to get rid of junk that might be in your heart that's getting in the way. You know, Jeremy talked today about it hurts in the past. Sometimes we pull up walls and barriers around our heart, you know, to keep others out, keep the hurt out. And I found that that was one thing for me that was preventing me from being able to receive, because I had a bit of a wall up and I'd come to worship him and I could give him all my love, all my adoration, but I couldn't let it go in. I couldn't receive it back. I'd shut it off somehow. Something inside me would go cold and I couldn't receive it until I learned what it was, what the root of it was. The Lord revealed it in a prayer time that I was able to deal with the issue, that hardness around my heart that I had put up. I was able to let it come down. And I could receive his presence so much easier. So there might be something like that. But then, you see, my heart was kind of like a hard, crusty sponge. You know, some of you that have, you've had a hard sponge you haven't used in a long time, it gets so hard you can knock on it, right? And you pour some water over it, what's going to happen? It's just going to run off, isn't it? But a little soft spot starts over here, doesn't it? And what happens then when you pour a little more water of it? Most of it runs off again, but the soft spot gets a little bigger, doesn't it? Yeah, and you keep doing that before you know it's all soft and squishy. And I found that was like my heart. You know, by soaking in his presence, and we had a soaking time this afternoon. I'll tell you, it was a lot easier to pray for the ministry team before the meeting tonight. You could tell they'd been soaking because they could receive it so much easier. You spend time soaking in God's presence and you can receive more. You can absorb more of his presence again. Get filled. Whoa. Whoa. Well, we want to spend some time getting filled up by his presence tonight. Do you want to get filled with his presence? Do you want to go home really full of the Holy Spirit? Are you crying out to him more? You know, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, Scripture says, come to the waters and drink. Drink your fill and get filled. Get saturated with his presence. I recommend that you spend time soaking at home. Spend time soaking in his presence. You see, for me, one time when I had never fallen down, I didn't even want to fall down. And in fact, I said to the Lord one time, why are people falling down? And I felt really drawn to this one person lying there on the floor, saying, God, why are you doing that? He said, I've got their full attention now, don't I? That's when we said, ah, oh, if that's what you want to do, you just want our full attention. I thought, well, I'm not falling down. Does that mean I can't have your attention to give you my attention? Well, I'm just going to do it deliberately then. So I chose to lie on the floor. And that's what we started doing for a while before we started ever, you know, falling under the anointing. But, you know, I just deliberately say, okay, here I am. Come get me. Wow. And little by little, I was starting to be able to receive more and more of his presence all the time. Well, but I remember the time that I first went down. I'd just been in worship, on the worship team and in worship like tonight. You could sense God's presence come, can't you? Yeah, his presence was there in worship. And this time, you know, that we were on the stage, worship, God's presence started to come and I could feel his presence in the room. It was lovely. And John Arnott just walked behind me and just put his hand on my head and wham, I was down. I thought, whoa, what happened to me? And it's like I got taken off guard because I had my guard up, you see. Before that. But, you know, I realized again I had been soaking in his presence in worship and that I was softer to being able to receive. You know, during the day, I like to take what I call little Holy Spirit breaks now. You know, you take a coffee break and you're at work, right? Especially you get stressed out, you need a coffee, right? Can't start the morning without a coffee. Allergic to mornings is written all over you, right? And you got to have that cup of coffee. Well, instead of going to the coffee, I find I can just say, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm going to take a little Holy Spirit break here for a minute. Whoa. Just for a couple of minutes, just say, Oh, I drink of you, of your presence. It's like, just like when you take a drink of water, it goes down into your being, doesn't it? Or like when you take a deep breath, you breathe in. Well, the Holy Spirit is supposed to be like in the very breath we breathe, because he's like the wind. You can't see him, but you see his effects. He's in the very air that you breathe. You take a deep breath, and it goes right into your being. Wow. So it's like by faith, you open up your spirit, because everything starts by faith anyway, doesn't it? You open up your spirit by faith and say, Lord, I receive from you, and I drink of your wonderful presence. Wow. Even do that right now. To say, Lord, I drink of you. Take a deep breath and breathe in of this wonderful, whoa, Holy Spirit, and let it go way down into the depths of your being. Let it fill you. Wow, take another deep breath. Whoa, a deep breath of his presence, way, way down into the depths of your innermost being. Whoa. Or think of it like a drink. Just raise up your glass up to the Lord and say, fill my cup up, Lord. And then just pour it right down. Take a big, long drink of his wonderful Holy Spirit. Wow, fresh living water. Let it go pour way down inside. Wow. Now turn to your neighbor and pour the glass over them. Say, take a drink. Wow. Whoa. 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 Do it again. Another long drink. Just pour it out on your neighbors. Have a drink. Whoa. Open up your spirit and let it go way down inside. Whoa. 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 Be filled to the measure of the fullness of God deep in your innermost being. Whoa. Yes, Lord. Did you receive it by faith? Yes. Whoa. But what if you didn't feel anything? What did you receive? You received more of his Holy Spirit, didn't you? If that's what you've asked for, right? Whoa. Well, again, we just want to get filled up with his presence tonight and give you that opportunity. I want to be so full of his presence. I radiate like the face of Moses. You know how Moses' face, he went in and spent time in the Lord's presence. He came out glowing so much they had to put a veil over his face. And then it would start to fade after a while, and he'd go back in again into the presence of God, and he would come out glowing like a light bulb again. Wow, you want to shine like a light bulb for Jesus? With more of the glory, more of the presence of God in you. And you'll radiate out, and everyone all around you will see that. They'll see a difference in you as you're full of him, full of his presence. Whoa. Can I get you to move this up there for me? And what I want to do is, first of all, we're going to have the ministry team lay hands on you so you can get lots of the Holy Spirit. But, yeah. But how many of you know you don't want, when they lay hands on, you don't want to receive anything of the flesh, do you? Don't you want to receive more of the Holy Spirit? Well, in order to do that, they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit themselves, don't they? See, we want to get so full of the Holy Spirit that it's the overflow, the extra, that's bubbling out, like Jesus said, wells of living water that are rising up to overflowing in you. Whoa. And so we want them to be overflowing. And I was telling them in the ministry time that I want them to learn how to just keep drinking as they're doing it, as they're pouring out. Become that funnel where he pours in, get that flow going, and pouring out the extra of the overflow. So they don't get used up and dried up and burnt out by giving everything away. They get to keep some for themselves, right? In fact, they need to be so full themselves that it just overflows. So where's the ministry team? I want you to come up here. We're going to just get you filled with the Holy Spirit first so you've got something to give away. So ministry team, come on up. I see some of you have been drinking already. I need you to turn around and face the people here. Where's Mike? Faithful Mike here, yes. Whoa. Jeremy, maybe you can come up and help me too. And what I want you to do, now remember, you've got Jesus living in you, right? And there's power flashing out from his hand, right? There's power that comes out of your hands as you stretch out your hands. It's Jesus in you, right? I want you to stretch out your hands, and I want you to throw it on the ministry team. Say, fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Fill them. Fill them with your presence, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them up, Holy Spirit. Again, wave it at them again. Fill them up. More, Lord. More, more. More, Holy Spirit. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Wow. Fill the Holy Spirit. More for Trish, Lord. More. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Wow. Give her more, Lord. Give her more. Wow. More. 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 Pour it in, Lord. Pour it in. Pour it in, Lord. Give them some more. More. Pouring in. Wow. More of your presence. More of your glory on them, Lord. More of your glory on them. More. Filling them up deep down. Wow. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them, Lord. Wow. Wow. You see what Jesus in you did? Wow. Get them, Lord. Get them really good. Whoa. Whoa. Jeremy's worried now they're going to be useless. How are they going to pray for all of you, right? Where is he? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those two are left standing, the catchers. They catch the overflow, though, so they're in for it, too. Wow. Okay, what we're going to do, again, is this fun way of just, it's just a fun way of getting filled up, that's all. Just like when we talk about taking a drink. It's a silly little thing, isn't it? It's a silly thing, but it's just, again, in childlike faith, we're just receiving that way. And what we want to do is we want to have a fire tunnel. And we had a bit of one last night. It wasn't supposed to be quite a fire tunnel, but it ended up that way. But we're going to have a fire tunnel tonight where we're going to just get filled up with the Holy Spirit. So as... Yeah, Jeremy, you want a picture too? Please take a picture. It's a good idea. Take a good picture of our ministry team here and how effectively they work. So what we're going to do is the ministry team, if we can get them up off the floor, are going to lay hands on you. So you're going to have lots of hands laid on you. You have an opportunity to get filled and filled and filled over and over again. And I'm going to explain to you how this is done. That'll give them a chance to get sobered up a bit, maybe. And what we're going to do is they're going to form two lines like this. But I'm actually going to, four groups. How many can we do? Three, okay. We're going to have three different fire tunnels so you can go through the tunnel as many times as you want, okay? I encourage everyone to go through at least once. Go through with an open heart, just saying, Lord, I want to receive everything you've got for me tonight. Just soak it up and soak it up and soak it up, okay? But there are a couple of rules. Oh, don't even bother. Jeremy says don't bother because everybody disobeys the rules. But that's why I got to try, yeah. Okay, but the team, you see, they're going to come in, you know, they're going to form a line facing each other, and you walk through like a tunnel, and they'll lay hands on you. Now, two rules. One is you keep walking. Okay, that's the one he says everybody disobeys because people get stuck there to the floor, right? And they just get greedy for the Holy Spirit. You're allowed to get greedy for the Holy Spirit, but try to do it keeping walking, okay? Now, the other thing is walk through slowly enough to at least receive, though, okay? Open up and just choose to receive. So go slow. Don't just rush through, but just keep going through receiving. Now, we're going to have a couple of guys helping. Now, Mike is one. Who else do we have? Oh, two Mikes are going to help. You're going to help too? Two Mikes are going to help. Oh, Mark and Mike. Sorry. Close. It's getting mixed up. Okay, Mark and Mike are going to be, well, you know how we've affectionately had catchers, right? Just in case people fall down. No expectation, but if you do, to keep you safe. Well, these two guys, we're actually going to give them a different name tonight. We're affectionately going to call them our draggers. Okay? Now, that means that if you go down, again, no expectation, but if you happen to go down in the tunnel and you plug up the tunnel and nobody can get through, they're going to very gently, very lovingly drag you out of the way. Okay? Now, actually, they'll probably more likely roll you out of the way. But if you're finding the weight of the presence of God is on you when you finish at the tunnel, just go find a spot on the floor and just stay there. We've learned that if the presence of God is on you like that, why don't you stay until God's finished with you? We don't want to fight against what God's doing, right? Just take everything that he's got for you and don't get up till you're done. And so you can just soak on the floor for a little while. Oh, it's getting quiet behind here. Yeah, they're trying to figure out what they're doing now. We haven't been paying attention. So we're going to form three different tunnels, okay? One at the side there, one over the side here, and one in the middle, all right? So I'm going to have to direct traffic here tonight. So if you come more down the middle and go down that tunnel that way and this tunnel this way, and this one come down here and go through that way, okay? Because at the two ends is where there's going to be lots of space, or down here in the middle, if you just want to soak in his presence after you've gone through the fire tunnel, okay? So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. Again, we don't want flesh. We want us of the Holy Spirit. Well, yes, sir. And I'm going to be coming along every once in a while and just reminding them to keep on drinking. Okay, because they need to keep coming, keep that flow. Lots more happens if they get filled with the Holy Spirit as they're doing it. Okay, have you got organized yourselves yet? Okay, maybe about five people down at this end. Six people. Got six people. Come down here more. Down this way more. You six, come down. Form this tunnel down here. Come down even a little further yet. Yeah, a little further here, yeah. Okay. So we've got six here. Here's one tunnel. You come down this way and file in through this way, okay? How many of you got here now? Okay, how many people do we have here? We got six people here. Okay, these six people here. We got another tunnel. Yay. Whoa. No, church is in that tunnel. I think so. Well, is this, are you in the tunnel? You're catcher. Okay. Well, we still need 1, 2, 3, 4. We better keep you down here. So, Holy Spirit, just come. As I said, go slow enough to receive of his wonderful presence. Just stay, you go slowly so you can receive.